just got a two-man show in the Daily Fantasy Live podcast, at least for the time being. It's certainly possible that Mike McClure will walk in the door, but if he does not, it's just Heath Cummings and Chris Towers here with your Friday DFS baseball advice. Heath, how you doing?
Well, I said earlier today, I think there's something poetic about the Jays finally breaking out and then Jacob deGrom sucking against the Padres. Poetic, not necessarily profitable.
I don't know. I've never been a big poetry guy.
Yeah.
You know, I know my Whitman, I know my Silverstein, but
right.
You know, beyond the Giving Tree, I don't know how much poetry I'm actually aware of. I don't understand what's poetic about it.
Yeah. You think it's just a figure of speech?
I just okay. Well, hopefully we can find some good poetry tonight.
Noah. It's just that easy, right?
We're done with the poetry motif, I guess.
Yes, there's no poem called Noah.
I'm sure there is.
I'm sure there's lots.
We do have Noah Syndergaard on the schedule, and he is not the most expensive pitcher on the board, which is pretty surprising. We'll break the pitchers up, I think, into two groups of three to start.
Two?
And then after three. That, we'll talk about the rest of them, okay?
Okay.
Don't question my method.
I didn't question it. I was just
go with it.
Restating it.
Madison Bumgarner, Noah Syndergaard, or Zach Greinke. Madison Bumgarner's at 11,700 against the Rockies at home.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Syndergaard, 11,200 against the Padres on the road. And Zach Greinke, 10,800 at Atlanta. Who are you going with?
I think I'll play two of these guys. I don't believe I'm going to play Mad Bum tonight.
Okay.
Not that it's not a decent matchup. The Rockies against a lefty on the road. Should be a pretty good matchup. Although I think that lineup's better against lefties now that they have Ryan Rayburn and, Trevor Story and Nolan Arenado and Mark Reynolds. I mean, they've got more guys that are good against lefties, but I don't see Bumgarner having the same upside as Noah Syndergaard. Now, we saw with Jacob deGrom yesterday, upside does not always
work out.
Deliver.
Although I would say with Syndergaard, it's not just I think he has more upside, and I think he right now has a higher floor than deGrom.
You know, the only thing I worry about is the Padres get a couple guys on base and just start running and getting his head.
Who do they have that can steal bases?
Anybody can steal bases on Thor.
I don't.
He's a right-handed John Lester.
Look, I get it. I get that it's been an issue for him.
Right. Here's my bigger issue. I don't care if he has trouble with runners, but he kind of seems to care.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. It seems to be an issue for him.
Right.
And, like, I want someone to tell him it's not.
Right.
Like, I want someone to, like, bear hug him like Robin Williams at the end of Good Will Hunting and just tell him it's not your fault.
Well,
because, like, he's still been really good. He doesn't allow lots of batter. I know it's a mental thing. I know it's a psychological.
My point is, I've coached a lot of Little League baseball.
Okay.
And got into several disagreements with other people I was coaching with about how much youth pitchers should worry about the running game. And we had a couple of pitchers on our team that were pretty dominant pitchers, and they'd strike out, especially at that level. I mean, they'd strike out the side all the time. And my point was always, who cares? Let him steal second and steal third. Just strike the guy out.
Yeah.
And with major leagues, you can't really do that.
I mean, no, but Syndergaard comes pretty close.
Thor against the Padres, he can do that.
He's got a 34% strikeout rate. It's he comes about as close as anybody can.
Plus, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know a lot about Kevin Plawecki and his defensive pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that Thor's the only one getting bases stolen off of him right now. I'm not sure how much he's going to be able to really be able to stop that. Melvin Upton. There's somebody in the Padres that can steal bases.
Is Alexi Amarista still a thing? No, he's on the DL.
But Alexi Ramirez is.
Okay. Does he steal bases?
I think he has before.
Sure. I mean, Joey Votto used to steal bases.
How many stolen bases does he have this year?
Alexi Ramirez has two.
Two. See?
Might double that tonight.
It's possible, but Thor will be my most highly owned pitcher.
Okay,
and I feel like people are going to sleep on Greinke. I wrote about him today. I've written about him way too much this year, maybe more than any other pitcher on both sides of this thing. But he has been so remarkably unlucky.
Well, now that nobody likes him,
I like him.
You like him? You know, I have the reputation of being a hipster.
Right.
But, like, just because you don't wear jean jackets and listen to Radiohead doesn't mean you're not a hipster, too,
man. You are wearing a jean jacket during this podcast.
And I've been listening to a lot of Radiohead lately.
The thing about me not being a hipster is I really...
You drink craft beer.
I do drink craft beer. I don't really...
You like country music, but only quote-unquote real country.
Right, that's
these
not
are
hipster.
All, these are all hipster things.
No, real country is not a hipster thing.
Yes, it is.
I think a hipster thing is current artists that...
Look, don't tell me about my life.
Homage. Like, you don't really like...
You don't get to come into my neighborhood.
Like,
you
don't
get
to come in, Johnny Cash that much.
You don't get to come into my neighborhood and tell me what is
You're
or isn't
trying
hipster.
To bring me into your neighborhood.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I think Zach Greinke will be a hipster play tonight.
I think he's a really good play.
The Braves suck.
Yes.
And
he's good.
They are the only team in baseball with a worse WOBA against right-handed pitchers than the Padres.
There you go.
So I don't think Greinke has the same upside as Syndergaard.
Definitely not.
But I feel like he should be really good, and maybe Syndergaard is. What if instead of having four straight days of the Jays not hitting crappy pitchers, we have four straight days of the Mets not succeeding against the Padres?
That would be amazing. The one thing I will say is, who would you say has a better chance of getting the win in this game?
Greinke.
Yeah. I mean, even aside from the fact that the Braves just don't win games anymore.
Right. Drew Pomeranz is better than Aaron Blair.
And it's just Drew Pomeranz is a lefty going against a Mets lineup that has a lot of lefty bats.
Right.
You know, the Mets offense looks really good right now, but they have not seen many lefties. So it's not out of the question that they could struggle more than anticipated tonight. Let's move on to the second tier. Actually, what the heck? Let's wait 10 seconds.
Oh, it's going to take him more than 10 seconds.
And get Mike's headset on. Let's hit that unmute button.
See, and I think maybe it's a good time to explain, because I give you a hard time a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it's not Mike's fault that he wasn't here for the start of the podcast.
No, it's your fault.
It's not Mike's, because we had to do the podcast a little bit early. And any time we have to do the podcast before 1 p.m. Eastern, we have to arrange that several days in advance with Mike. Because Mike doesn't actually come to the office until 1 in the afternoon. So I'm glad you could make it.
Yeah, I'm here. I just saw the email as I was walking in the office to come ask you what time we were podcasting.
All right. Look, we just discussed the big three, Mad Bum, Noah, and Zach Greinke. How would you rank that trio tonight, and then we'll move on to the next three?
Greinke will always be last for me.
Wow.
That's a homerism.
Wow.
By the way, it's okay. A total homer thing.
A little bit of a
I've
homerism.
Gotten over my feelings about Zach Greinke and the way that he left Kansas City. Mike has not.
Where did you rank him number one?
Two.
Two? Who'd you put number one?
Thor.
I agree with that. I think it's good. I think it's Thor, Mad Bum, and then Greinke.
All right, let's talk about the next tier. This is a group of three pitchers who have had pretty different results so far this season, but I think they're all pretty similar in talent, if not approach.
We can skip over this tier really quickly.
Really?
Yeah. I can at least.
Chris Archer against the Angels, Jordan Zimmermann against the Rangers, and Cole Hamels against the Tigers.
Yeah. Here's my problem. And maybe you guys will have a different take on it, but I'll
you know,
be
I've been trying to figure out what your problem is for
really
a while.
Quick. I'm not worried about Chris Archer. I think he's going to be fine. The Angels don't strike out.
Okay.
I think Chris Archer has a good win opportunity, but they don't strike out. And there's no reason to play that for only $800 less than Thor.
Okay.
And then
Zimmermann and Hamels going against each other.
Exactly. And neither one of them are huge upside pitchers anyway. Like, if I'm playing Thor or Greinke or going below 9,000.
Yeah, I mean, Zimmermann is off to an unbelievable start. 0.55 ERA in his first five starts.
Might not be sustainable.
Well, sure. But he's only averaging... he's averaging 44.4 fantasy points per game, which is really good, but not quite what you would expect for a pitcher with that kind of ERA, because he just doesn't strike anyone out. He generates a bunch of weak contact, a bunch of infield fly balls, which is great, but not so great for DFS. What about the rest of the slate? Anybody? You can pick anybody under 9,300. Who are you picking?
You can look at Rich Hill.
Rich Hill going against Baltimore, $7,900. Yeah. Is that your pick? If you could pick anybody under $9,300, that's your pick?
He's Give him a minute. He just woke up.
He didn't wake up. I've been awake. So with some of the data that I do a lot of that from home and send it in early in the mornings. But no, I did not just wake up.
Heath really prides himself on the fact that he gets here on time. He does one thing right, which is get here at 8:30 in the morning. And anybody who doesn't get here at 8:30 in the morning is below him somehow. No matter what else we do, no matter what, Heath had to stay here until 6 yesterday.
Wow. I know, it was awful.
It was, yeah.
It was torture.
So I just want to point that out.
Vincent Velasquez.
Vincent Velasquez against the Marlins.
Against the Marlins. Now, the worry that I have, I talked about how the Angels don't strike out. The Marlins are actually tied for the third best strikeout rate against righties. But it's still 4% higher than the Angels. Like they don't strike out, but they're not that far from average.
They're closer to average than
right.
And they faced some decent strikeout pitchers from the right-handed side. They had a four-game series against the Mets.
They also Marlins Park is giving up more home runs now, but it's still a great place for a fly ball pitcher like Velasquez.
Yeah.
The
one thing I would be potentially worried about with him is his lack of a third pitch. The fact that he relies so much on his curveball could make him susceptible to lefties. But the Marlins only really have Dietrich right now.
Right, Boer is not lefty. Okay.
He dislocated his pinky the other day. I would imagine he's still not
ready
to play.
That sounds really painful.
He slid into a base and then dislocated it and tried to just pop it back in.
That would have been your first instinct, I think. If your pinky is out of your thing, the first thing you're going
to
do is put it.
Probably be to run around going, ow, 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 ow.
isn't that the first thing you do is just grab the pinky and try to get it back?
Send help.
Yeah. The hard part about today, I think, is there are a ton of options at pitcher.
Yeah.
So many.
There's 14 games.
Francisco Liriano
mm-hmm.
against the Cardinals, who are not very good against lefties.
Yep.
Carmart on the other side.
Yep.
Danny Salazar against the Royals team that scored four runs in the last month. Taiwan Walker against the high strikeout potential of Houston.
Still haven't mentioned the one guy that I'm interested in.
You're going to go away from the Jays and go with Kenta Maeda against this lineup?
No.
Okay.
Rick Porcello striking
he's 5-0 on the year.
He is second among all pitchers today. I don't know how he ranks overall, but second among all pitchers today in fantasy points per game.
And he has not had less than 6 strikeouts in a game this year.
And the Yankees offense is not terrible.
So do you think Porcello is going to be highly owned?
I don't think he'll be highly owned at all. I don't think people will use Porcello on the road at Yankee Stadium. I don't think they will, but I think they should.
I mean, a fly ball pitcher at Yankee Stadium isn't exactly ideal.
I'm not even calling him a fly ball pitcher.
Yeah,
he's a strikeout pitcher right now.
Well, for his career, he's been a ground ball, not strikeout guy. He's been a...
Hasn't that changed over the last couple of years, though?
No, it's changed this year. Last year,
he struck out more last year.
Last year, towards the end of the season, he started getting more strikeouts. The weird thing about Rick Porcello is both this season and at the end of last season, it's not like he's getting more swinging strikes. He's getting a lot more called strikes. And I wonder how sustainable that is.
Yeah.
It works for some pitchers. It's kind of how Aaron Nola has been so good this season. But I'm a little concerned about that sustaining itself. He does throw a lot in the zone, which can lead to bad things, but
yes. So it is worth noting that again he's playing the Yankees tonight.
Yeah.
His last start was against the Yankees. So they're gonna see him again for the second time in 10 days.
He has not had a good history in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. So there is a little concern with the team seeing him again just so quickly.
Right.
But I like Porcello.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to play 50% Thor.
At least, yeah.
In tournaments even.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to play a little bit of Greinke, and I think I'm going to play a little bit of Velasquez and maybe one more. But there's way too many, and that really will lead well into the stacks discussion, which is going to suck.
You know, Okay, a couple more. I might be interested in Chad Bettis as a potential contrarian play, playing in San Francisco. He's got a 3.8 ERA career on the road. And
against Bumgarner?
As a contrarian play, yeah.
Okay.
What if the Rockies have a good game against Bumgarner? He gets the win. All of a sudden, you could be looking at a 40-point game from a really low-owned pitcher.
The Rockies used up all their runs for 3 months last night.
Well, in the, what, fifth inning?
Yeah.
I think they set a franchise record for runs in an inning.
13 runs.
I could definitely see playing some Pomeranz, some Pineda.
Pomeranz is another guy who's been very good this year.
Yeah. I think he has a sixth highest swinging strike rate.
Sounds right. We mentioned Velasquez. We mentioned Taijuan Walker. Those are the two that I like. I also think Yordano could be an interesting one going against an Indians team that is not great against right-handed pitching.
Right.
So that's also something to keep in mind. Heath, you said you don't. You said you don't like the stack options.
They suck.
Okay. Tell me more.
The problem is there are bad pitchers pitching tonight. But they're almost exclusively facing bad offenses.
Yeah.
Of the offenses that are projected to score the most runs tonight, we've got the White Sox against Ricky Nolasco.
Makes sense.
The Mariners against Doug Fister.
Makes sense. He has, I believe, by far the lowest swing strike rate in baseball.
I'm not sure about that, but it wouldn't surprise me. Okay.
Yeah.
The Reds against Tyler Cravey. The Twins against Matt Latos. And the Astros against Taijuan Walker. The one, to me, I feel like the Reds offense at home against Cravey is the most likely to go off. And that's not just because they went off recently. Brandon Phillips is kind of, his bat's woken up. Votto's bat's starting to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that you're probably going to get a $2,400 Billy Hamilton at the top of the order again. And then you can choose, I mean, Brandon Phillips is still ridiculously cheap. Then you can choose whether you want to, if you start with those three, you can choose Cozart to play shortstop or Bruce in the outfield. And then you got Eugenio Suarez there as well if you're playing on DraftKings and want to play multiple Reds. But Cravey is the one guy I'm relatively certain is bad.
Okay.
And the Reds should pound him.
I'm very certain that Matt Latos is bad. He's
much better than Tyler Cravey.
Maybe. He's pretty bad. I'm pretty certain that Ricky Nolasco is bad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I like both sides of that game.
Okay. I like the White Sox side better, but yeah.
It's a good place to hit. U.S. Cellular Field. The hitters aren't particularly expensive on either side. I don't think there's anybody over 4,000 in that game.
No.
So I like that one. I like left-handed Red Sox, especially against Michael Pineda. Yep,
that's my favorite stack tonight, actually. Yeah. Despite the low implied team total, yeah. I like the Red Sox a lot.
Even right-handed hitters can go deep on Michael Pineda right now. I know the peripherals are really great with him, and you know that's a reason why I've been high on Michael Pineda in the past. He gets a lot of strikeouts. He doesn't walk many batters, but when batters do make contact, they tend to send it a long way. So
here's my thing with that low projected run total for the Red Sox and the stacking the Red Sox. I think it's a very high variance play.
Oh yeah,
I feel like there's Pineda's strikeout rates.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it's just irrelevant.
No, it's not at all.
His stuff is not bad right now. It's just occasionally he gets rocked.
It's the same thing that happened last season.
Yeah,
he's got good stuff.
He either has it that day or he doesn't. He's going to have 10 strikeouts or two.
He might be like the sixth most likely pitcher on the slate to throw 8 innings of shutout ball.
He could. Yeah. I mean, he's someone that could have 8 strikeouts in 5 innings and give up 7 runs. Like, I think that's within the realm of possibility with him. He definitely does have pretty good stuff. I think he's got at least 2+ pitches, maybe 3, depending on how much you like his changeup. But he gets rocked.
And then the other one for me, we don't think that for most good pitchers, they don't get to AAA until age 28, right?
Usually you get there beforehand.
Like, yes. If it takes you until 28 to get to AAA, are you bad?
Probably.
Yes.
Okay, Tim either Adel or Adelman,
yeah,
is pitching again for the Reds. He was good in his first starts.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen twice in a row.
That's probably fair.
Probably not. So I like the Brewers. I like stacking that whole game. If you can get the Brewers and Reds together, I think that'll be a shootout.
Yep. Wind's blowing out a little there.
But, I wish Tampa was better.
Yeah.
Because they're going in a bullpen game against the Angels. Bullpen games can go awry pretty quickly.
Yeah, he's going to throw three innings, maybe four max.
Yeah.
And that usually means that you're going to get one of those long relievers coming into the game pretty early. And
usually
those,
the worst pitchers on the team.
Those guys are usually the worst pitchers on the team.
I think he was a long reliever, actually, before he made this spot start. So you may get two long relievers.
Is this Colby's little brother?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, do with that information what you will. It's just Tampa doesn't have a ton of hitters that I like, especially against a right-handed pitcher, especially in a bullpen game where they'll likely at least be able to play matchups to a certain extent. But I guess I could see myself throwing out a Tampa stack because they're going to be pretty cheap. Logan Forsythe's the most expensive Tampa Bay Ray, which is true. So are there any other stacks you guys are considering?
Not really, no.
No, I think we covered them all.
Okay, Heath. Got the good BVP data for us?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. We are going with Danny Salazar as our BVP pitcher tonight. And there is one Royal that has huge BVP numbers against him. But Salazar has faced Royals batters 182 times.
Okay.
And they have a 624 OPS against him.
You know, I always feel like the BVP lineup is better when it's all the way through.
Anchored, well, I believe last night might have been the best BVP lineup yet, and the pitcher was just selected at random. So that's not it's not totally true, but it can feel that way and still not be that way. That's okay. AJ Pierzynski owns Zach Greinke. They've got a long, long history against each other, which shouldn't surprise anyone. Pierzynski has seen Greinke 54 times.
Wow.
He's never walked, but he's got a 389 average, three dongs, and a 1011 OPS.
Why would you ever walk?
Yeah.
If you hit 389. He's probably got a 389 on base percentage.
He might have
like a sacrifice.
He has a 400 on base percentage.
Oh, he got hit once.
He got
hit
by a pitch.
Yeah.
I think he was upset. Yeah.
What everybody should throw a pitch at AJ Pierzynski in the lower region so you don't hurt him.
We should talk about that though. That's actually very impressive because AJ Pierzynski is not a good hitter.
And Zach Greinke's a very good hitter.
Yeah. You said hitter, but yeah.
It's true for a pitcher.
He is a good hitter.
I'm not going to go in position order. I will at the end, but Carlos Gonzalez has seen Mad Bum 50 times. He has a 348 average, 5 dongs, and an 1161 OPS. Don't ask. I know what you're going to say, and I'm not going to answer it because I don't know.
How much of that happened at Coors?
Oh, that's not what I was going to say.
Jacoby Ellsbury has seen Rick Porcello 29 times. He has a 429 average, 4 dongs, and a 1377 OPS.
All of those things make sense.
Yes.
Okay, well, how about this then? Eric Ibar.
Sure.
Has seen Zach Greinke 30 times. He has a 357 average, a 536 slug, and a 942 OPS.
The one question I have is, why the heck are you playing Zach Greinke then? The Braves are going to rain dongs upon him.
Well, it's just those two.
Oh, okay.
So, Pierzynski hits a solo dong. Ibar hits a solo dong. Come on.
If those two hit solo dongs, I will not be happy with Greinke's performance.
That's the only two hits he's given up. He's going to strike out 11. Miggy Cabrera has seen Cole Hamels 18 times. He's got a 615 average with a 1645 OPS. And then we're always looking for a reason to play the third best hitter in baseball, right? Jose Altuve has seen Taijuan Walker 22 times. He had a 364 average, 1028
OPS. Did you see my tweet today?
No.
About Altuve? I'm giving in.
You're giving in? Okay, good. Kyle Seager has some BVP numbers against Doug Fister. 4-for-13 with a dong, 923 OPS. And that just leaves us. Corey Rasmus is going to get beat up. Colby Rasmus is going to beat up Taiwan Walker. He's got an 1154 OPS against Walker. So again, that is Salazar, Przinski, Cabrera, Altuve, Seager, Ibar, Ellsbury, Cargo, and Rasmus.
Heath, I made this tweet just for you. I'm disappointed you didn't see it.
Well, Chris, you tweet about 450 times a day.
No.
I can't see every one of them.
It's less than that.
You're the reason that it's Twitter more than 200. Is considering the Facebook algorithm.
So here's the tweet. I want you to hear it.
Okay.
It's September 28th. Jose Altuve has just hit his 72nd homer. I shout from the stands, "Regression is coming," as security escorts me out.
Who did that to you in the NFL this year? Was it Blake Bortles or Doug Baldwin? It may have been both.
I don't know.
That you kept calling for the touchdown regression, and you were right. They just kept scoring touchdowns.
Look, I get lots of things wrong.
I don't put that in the same classification as you got that wrong.
No, I know. It's not.
If I thought you got it wrong, I would just tell you you were wrong.
You were wrong, Chris. People don't understand probability.
I think the probability is pretty high that one of us catches that dong tonight.
I mean, yeah.
I don't.
Longest team losing streak in show history.
Yeah.
Longest individual.
I have not donged since April 24th.
No May dongs.
Which was a good day for donging.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been rough.
It's depressing. We got caught up in the whole Blue Jays thing.
And like, I'm pretty sure Giancarlo Stanton has hit 5 home runs in that time.
And you've picked him 4 times.
I've picked him 3 times and he has not donged once.
Well, that's the name of the game though. Like in DFS, when people get mad because they pick a guy a day too early, well, you picked him the wrong day.
Yeah. Exactly. You were wrong.
Yes.
All right. So, there are no scores to report for this week. We have a beautiful 3-way tie. I guess Mike is in the lead.
Because his price is lower?
Because he has the lowest price.
Okay. Well, and I caught the last dong, so...
You are still...
I get to make my selection first, which means I'm in the lead.
None of us has donged since last Saturday.
That's disgusting.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Mike.
We are one.
Change it.
We are one for our last 18, fellas.
I'm going to take Brandon Phillips. I'm going with that cheap price again.
And you're chasing Dong again. He's donged in 2 straight days.
Altuve has 2. Why don't you take him? Altuve Airlines.
I'm not. There's no reason for me to try to get cheaper than you because I can't. So I'll go with Joey Votto.
Okay.
They're both in my lineup.
Yeah, they're both in my lineup.
The Jays have not worked out for you.
No.
Like the team or the letter.
No.
Because that is... Three of your last 4 have, or actually 4 of your last 5 have been first name Jays, and not so much for you.
You bring so much interesting data to the show.
I know. I've got spreadsheets, man. I could go cheap and catch up with Mike, but I'm actually going to get a dong.
How far behind him are you?
Only 100 this week.
Okay.
But I'm going to actually catch a dong instead. So I'm going with David Ortiz against Michael Pineda.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that pick a lot.
He needs to dong for me.
Okay.
I'm tired of this.
What's your record when picking last names that start with O?
Inconclusive.
Okay.
0-for-0. I've yet to pick a last name with an O.
So this will set a trend.
Exactly. All right, you guys want to do your lineups?
Well, yeah. I don't feel good about my lineup yet today. We got a tweet from somebody that said he has 3 tickets for tonight.
Yep.
And he's going to play our 3 lineups. So I tried to come up with my best idea for a tournament lineup.
Okay.
And I'm sure you guys, one of you will give a Thor lineup. I don't think he should play all 3 Thor lineups.
Yep.
So I'm going to give you a Greinke lineup.
Okay.
Against the Braves. This is in case Thor pulls a DeGrom and maybe Greinke can put up 45, 50 points for you. So I've got Greinke, I've got Jonathan LaCroix at catcher, Joey Votto at first, Brandon Phillips at second, David Wright against a lefty at third, Bad Brad Miller going up against the, you had him too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jay Bruce, Ryan Braun, and Billy Hamilton in the outfield.
Okay.
I like it.
Mike?
Lineup is kind of similar, but I'm going to go with Syndergaard,
yeah.
Okay. LaCroix, Votto, Phillips, that's Brandon Phillips, Joey Votto. I think everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Kyle Seager, Brad Miller, Nelson Cruz, Seth Smith, and Billy Hamilton.
I'm trying to figure out how you have enough money for all those players. Like, I feel like I did something wrong.
$100 left.
Well, I guess it's because Thor is only $400 more than Greinke.
Yeah. The Reds are cheap. Brad Miller's $2,200. Seth Smith, $2,900.
For the record, if whichever one of your free rolls has the higher prize, I would play Mike's because I was just trying to give you a non-Syndergaard lineup, and I like his better already.
The Mariners picks, I like going against Fister. We didn't mention them as a possible stack, but they've got some guys who can mash righties, and
yeah,
you have them in your lineup. Yeah. I also have a Noah Syndergaard lineup. I also feel better about Mike's so far, but you know, there's some overlap. I've got Noah Syndergaard, Jonathan Lucroix, David Ortiz, Brian Dozier, Chris Coughlin, Brad Miller, Miguel Sano, Adam Eaton, and Jackie Bradley Jr. I mentioned three stacks. I have multiple players from all three of them. So
if
my money where my mouth is.
If I wasn't playing a Reds Brewers stack in this lineup, I'm going to have a ton of Adam Eaton.
Yeah,
I think Adam Eaton against Nolasco, hoping for five plate appearances for $3,200.
Yep. Yeah, same thing. I had Byung-ho Park in there against Matt Latos as well, but I had enough for David Ortiz, so I paid up for him. That's it.
Those are three good lineups. This guy's going to win all the money.
That is it for the Daily Fantasy Live podcast this week.
This week.
You guys got any weekend plans? I know Heath doesn't make plans.
Yeah, I don't.
It's Mother's Day. You have any?
I'm planning to catch a few dongs. I feel like I get most of my dongs on the weekends.
You do. You have a high ratio of dongs that happen on the weekend.
I already closed my Excel spreadsheet, so I cannot confirm.
No, we will do whatever my wife wants to do
on
Mother's Day. I made one suggestion, and she shot that down. So I said, hey, you just tell us what you want to do, and we'll do it.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm not going to
be... You know what you should do tomorrow? Drive down to the Miami Metro Zoo?
That won't happen.
They're having a brewery thing.
Maybe.
They have like a craft beer thing.
Maybe.
It's probably only like a 2-hour drive from where you live.
Yeah. So then I drink a bunch of beers and drive home?
No.
Just stay in Miami?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get a hotel. Yeah. In beautiful Homestead. Mike, do you have any plans?
It's all the way down in Homestead?
Yeah, it's far.
That's not Miami.
It's Miami. Miami-Dade County.
Okay. I don't have any plans. Just play daily fantasy baseball.
Just going to catch some dongs and play some DFS. All right. Yep. We'll see you guys Monday. Bye.